Art, science and philosophy, I have discovered through my next guest. My last guest today is a wonderful combination. Rachel Sussman is an American artist, and through a haphazard visit to a 7,000-year-old tree on an island off the southern point of Japan, Rachel embarked on a 10-year project photographing and documenting the oldest living organisms on Earth. They had to pass one test, though. They had to be over 2,000 years old, and we'll find out why in a moment. It was an endeavour that took Rachel to every continent, but it's not just about the portraits she took or the science behind the living organism. It also becomes a reflection on what time actually means, how we as humans view time, and what is deep time, as Rachel calls it. The oldest living things in the world is the result of her journey. It combines beautiful photography and text about her subjects and the adventures she had in finding them. So it's with great pleasure I welcome Rachel Sussman to Saturday Extra via Skype from her hometown, Brooklyn. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. It's a late afternoon here in Brooklyn, but I'm so pleased to be joining you.
Yes, look, tell us about that trip to Japan, how you came to find out about that particular tree and what happened when you saw it.
Well, it was a very interesting moment in both in my life and my creative process, because I'd gone to Japan without an explicit agenda about what I was going to be doing there. I had just purchased a new medium format camera, so that I still shoot film, so those are very large negatives. And I'd been doing quite a lot of work about the relationship between humanity and nature, and had just finished an artist residency back in New York, and was thinking about these philosophical issues in my work, as well as nurturing this desire to do work that connected with science as well. So when I was in Kyoto, I had this very interesting moment. I was traveling by myself, and I thought, I don't speak the language. This is feeling a little uncomfortable. And, you know, I'm here to see these old temples and understand and experience some old culture. But I pulled into the train station, and there's Starbucks and Kinko's. And I'm thinking, that wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Yeah, you were a bit disenchanted, let's face it, you were.
I was. And so I had this interesting moment where I thought, well, I could go home, or I could follow this thread that a couple of different people had suggested to me, which was, they said, if you're interested in nature, you should go visit Jomonsugi, this ancient tree that lives on this remote island, and it is, in theory, 7,000 years old. It's probably closer to 2,180, but the point was that this is an incredibly old tree. And I basically had this moment where I could decide to leave or I could decide to have an adventure. So I chose the adventure.
Indeed.
I chose my own adventure.
Well, you did. And the point is that you didn't even realize at the start. I mean, yes, you were sort of amazed by it, but it was the subsequent, and this, the whole book is infused with that. It's made you more reflective, and it's drawn others in who've said, oh my goodness, we really haven't looked at this, you forcing us to look at it.
Well, it was a wonderful thing because I think it did both of those things you just talked about. It's, for me, was this experience of opening up my perspective and weaving together these things that you maybe wouldn't normally put together. So this idea of making photographs of nature, but thinking of them as portraits of these organisms, and then combining scientific inquiry, because I really thought it was important to use scientific fact as the basis for determining how old these organisms were.
Yes,
and then, of course, the perspective about time as well.
Well, let's talk about that deep time. What do you mean by that?
Well, so deep time is not a technical term. It's really meant to create a sense of time scales that are outside of our human experience. So, you know, I think we can be pretty comfortable feeling that we understand what 100 years feels like, that feels physically, we understand that that might be what a human lifespan could be at its more optimal state. But once we start getting into these larger numbers, they become more and more abstract. So 500, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 years, they become abstractions to us that we can't really relate to. So what I thought was, by finding these living individual organisms that have these tremendous, amazing lifespans, that in a way we can start to create a personal connection. So we start to understand, wow, that tree has been there for 3,000 years. I wonder what it's experienced. So we start to anthropomorphize these organisms. And then that gives us a sense of both empathy and connection, and also a sense of how all of the organisms on our planet are interconnected, and that these are essentially our planet's elders.
Well, yes, that's you do become quite profound. I've just got to quote the Carl Sagan quote. Once we lose our fear of being tiny, we find ourselves on the threshold of a vast and awesome universe which dwarfs in time, space and in potential the tiny anthropocentric proscenium of our ancestors.
Yes,
it certainly gives us pause for thought, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that through this project, my hope is not to say, well, these things have just lived longer than us and they're outside of us. If anything, I want the opposite to start to become clear, that we're interconnected and we're part of this whole. So by feeling that we are connected, then I think it starts to create a sense of community, a sense of care. Caring about these organisms specifically, but just about the world as a whole.
Let's just talk in the few minutes. Rachel Sussman's my guest, talking about The Oldest Living Thing in the World, this wonderful book she's produced. Let's just talk about some of the old things you found. The lichen in Greenland, for instance, an amazing story. They're between 3,000 and 5,000 years old, and it grows 1 centimeter a century. That's the slow movement for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's my favorite statistic from the whole project, because in a sense that really does, that encapsulates this idea of 100 years, like a human lifespan. Imagine spending your entire lifespan only growing 1 centimeter. So I really think that just sort of snaps things into perspective.
And the Siberian story too, please. That's an extraordinary.
The Siberian actinobacteria.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't quite know how to pronounce it.
All right. So that's the oldest known living thing in the world. So the Siberian actinobacteria is between 400,000 and 600,000 years old. And this was discovered by a team of planetary biologists who were doing research in Siberia in hope of finding some clues to what life might be like on other planets. So they took a core sample deep in the permafrost, not knowing what they would find. And what they found was this remarkable bacteria is doing DNA repair below freezing. So what that means is that it's living and growing below freezing, not dormant, as some things are that we've amazing discoveries nonetheless that are found encapsulated in ice, but this colony is alive.
Yes, and
growing.
And that whole way in which you define that, and again, Australia has quite a lot to talk about here, of course.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of my favorite subjects from the whole project is the stromatolites. So I went to up to Carbla Station, so north of Shark Bay, and
in
the
Western
stromatolites.
Australia.
Yes, in Western Australia, the stromatolites are just tremendous because they first appeared on Earth 3.5 billion years ago. And perhaps even earlier than that. So, you know, we started talking about thousands of years, and all of a sudden we're basically in cosmic time at this point. So that colony is between 2,000 and 3,000 years. But I became so enamored with this idea that they were some of the earliest life forms on Earth. And also, the stromatolites did the job of oxygenating the planet. So they used to be everywhere. They're part biologic and part geologic, which is also fascinating. So they're the living cyanobacteria combined with non-living sand and silt. And that bacteria is performing photosynthesis. And over the course of 900 million years, they oxygenated the planet. This is why we have air to breathe.
Rachel, I mean, it is. It definitely creates awe in one. And there's some couple of tragedies which listeners will have to go and buy the book in order to hear about. But look, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations, hearty congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's really my pleasure.
Rachel Sussman, artist and writer, and her book, The Oldest Living Things in the World, is published by the University of Chicago Press. It's distributed here in Australia by Footprint Books, and you can go to our website where you'll see some of Rachel's portraits. Well, that's it for Saturday Extra for 2016. A happy and a safe new year to you all. And I look forward to your company again throughout 2017. My goodness, 17 years since the our Olympics in 2000. Quite amazing, isn't it? For the next few weeks in January, we'll continue to bring you some of our highlights as RN Summer continues. I think it's always a highlight of the year, actually. I'd like to thank the Saturday Extra Summer team, executive producer Kate McDonald and sound engineer Joe Wallace. Do keep listening, though, throughout this New Year's Eve. Bye-bye for now.